everything in its path but my desire. You feel amazing, I groan, opening my eyes again. As she curls her hands around my shoulders, she draws a shaky breath. I don't know her noises yet, but I want to. I'm not sure if I was too fast, if she needs it slower to start, or something else. I meet her gaze. You good? She nods. So good. I'm learning her cues, learning her. I want to know everything. How do you like it? Fast, hard, rough, a lot of dirty talk, tender and gentle? All of the above, depending on my mood. I kiss her roughly, quickly. Good, same. Right now, though, I want to feel like you can't get me out of your head. I groan from the sheer sexiness, the utter confidence of her words. Right now, I can't fuck you any other way. I slide my hand down her back, cupping the top of her ass and yanking her closer as I drive deeper into her in one swift move. I shudder once I'm all the way in, and she trembles, and it's the perfect symphony of sensations. Her reaction, my reaction, our pleasure. We're in sync once again. Maybe in a whole new way. Everything feels so fantastically dirty and so perfectly right at the same time. She wraps her legs around my hips, hooking her heeled feet over my ass, urging me on as she arches into me. I stroke into her hard, deep, as I bury my face in her neck, getting drunk on her scent. Oranges again, and it drives me insane. My nerve endings come alive, and my mind unravels as I growl. You smell so fucking good, feel so fucking incredible. She lifts her face up and nibbles on my earlobe. I shudder, loving the rough side of her. Do that again, I tell her. She obliges, biting this time, whispering, I like biting you. I love it when you do. She travels down my neck, sucking on my jaw, dragging her teeth over my skin. I'm wild inside, wild from this. You drive me so crazy. Same, I'm so turned on. Then let's get you coming on my cock. She whispers in a broken pant. It's been a week, and I want you. It'll be fast. I laugh lightly as I thrust into her, loving the way she talks to me, talks back to me. It comes as no surprise that she gives as good as she gets. There is no need to linger. This is an afternoon quickie, not an afternoon delight where I can savor every second, every touch. The delivery man might knock, my assistant might come looking for me, the phone could ring. I need to move us around the bases and get the woman tagging home. I squeeze the side of her ass tighter and she responds with a luxurious gasp, letting me know she likes my hands on her, likes what I have to give. She tightens around me, her body gripping me. Lust ricochets through me, running rampant in all the thoroughfares in my body. With each thrust, with every single grunt and moan, the pleasure builds and coils. I don't want to think, but one thought won't be still. And it's not about my dick. It's not about how immensely good fucking her feels. It's about how much I need this. Not sex in general, but sex with her. I need this intimacy. I need her in my arms. I need. The word brands itself into my brain. I set it free. Grabbing her ass tighter as I drive deeper, I whisper, I need you, Piper. Need you so much. Something heavy inside me becomes lighter, telling her freeze something that weighed me down, that I was so used to, didn't even know was sinking me. Her lips dust over my jaw. Need this too. Need you too. I'm even lighter now at hearing her words. I'm letting go of old hurts, saying goodbye to a persistent ache that doesn't need a home inside me anymore. I shake off the emotions, homing in on the physical. I meet her gaze, slide one hand between her legs, and rub my finger against the delicious rise of her clit. She lets out the sexiest groan I've ever heard in my life, then gives me a dirty, sexy smile. Her mouth parts in an O, her back bows, and she's crying out, reaching the edge. Her sounds are so spectacular, so mind-bendingly good that they're rattling loose the pleasure inside me. They're pushing my own orgasm to break free. I don't want anyone in the hallway to hear her. You're so fucking loud, and I love it, but I don't want anyone else to hear you. I clasp my hand to her mouth, and her eyes squeeze shut. She bites my palm as she shudders and then lets go, her moans stifled as she comes hard on me. That's all I need, because all I need is her. Pleasure bursts inside me, my brain going blank, my mind nothing but white-hot electricity as my body thanks me for having come down to her office and talked to her. I barely understand what's happening, but I also understand it so fully, so deeply. It's terrifying and it's wonderful at the same damn time. After we straighten up, she settles on her pink couch, all glossy eyes and tousled hair. She eyes her desk.
Never have I ever had sex on a desk.
Smiling, I sit next to her, running a hand over her hair. Never have I ever had sex on a desk either. We both grin. Her eyes are twinkling, and I bet mine are too. She arches a brow.
Really?
I stare sternly at her. I just gave you the never have I ever promise. That's like a blood oath. Then I soften. This is a first for me. She nibbles on the corner of her lips, and she looks younger in that instant, delighted almost. Like a light illuminating a darkened room, I understand why. She wants to have some of my firsts, even if it's sex on a desk. And I'm learning I want to give them to her. I search in my mental files, hunting madly for another one, for something else that can be only ours. I find it, and a smile tugs at my lips. This is going to sound kind of crazy, but would you want to do something super ridiculous, like go play shuffleboard with me? She cracks up, a deep belly laugh. Okay, so that's a no. She sets a hand on my leg.
Should I get my cheaters out? We can go in the Buick, maybe have an early bird special for dinner.
See if I ask you out again. Another laugh rumbles from her chest.
I think it sounds great. I'm presuming you mean in lieu of dinner?
I don't know that I'm having dinner with you now, mocking me and all. I cross my arms in faux indignation. She grabs at them, batting her eyes.
Please, please forgive me for teasing you about shuffleboard. I think it sounds great. Even though I grew up in Florida, I've actually never played, and I heard there's a new place in Brooklyn.
I've never played either. That's why I suggested it. She freezes, and then a smile spreads across her face.
I definitely want to play then.
She leans in and brushes her lips over mine.
Thank you.
She doesn't say why she's thanking me. But I know, and she knows. And I'm glad we don't have to explain why we both want to find some firsts for us. There's a shorthand to Piper and me, and it's not simply from having run in the same circles. It's because we connect. She's emotionally astute, too. She picks up on cues without needing anything spelled out. She gets what she's dealing with. I have baggage. Hell, I am the baggage, but she doesn't seem to mind, and she doesn't seem to need to poke at the rips and the tears in the luggage. She accepts that I've come to her after I've been around the block. She accepts, and she doesn't try to turn me inside out on a mad hunt for every little difference, every possible comparison. I'm so damn grateful. I take her hand, threading my fingers through hers, looking down at how our joined hands look. They fit. They look right. I raise my gaze. I don't know when I can go. I have to get a sitter. I have to do things the right way this time.
Of course you do. I totally understand.
I'm pretty sure my sister will watch them. She knows about you. Piper grins, a confident look in her brown eyes.
So she knows how awesome I am?
Exactly. She knows you're awesome. I told her how I feel about you. I say, and that word, feel, should weigh a ton. But it doesn't. I'm not afraid of how I feel for her anymore. I'm only afraid, I suppose, of messing it up. This is a brand new path for me, and I'm driving in the dark without headlights.
How do you feel?
She asks, her tone a little nervous. Shrugging, I smirk. Oh, you know, I think you're delightful. She swats my elbow, and I catch her hand, hauling her in for a kiss. A fierce kiss that says how I feel. Roughly, I answer. You know how I feel.
Do I?
Her voice is gentle. I press my forehead against hers, searching for words that capture this wild mix of emotions claiming the real estate in my heart. I want to know you, Piper. I want to understand who you are, and I want to spend more time with you, both in clothes and getting you out of them. She shudders against me, looping her hands around my neck.
I like you in and out of your birthday suit, too,
she says, then whispers in a smoky, sexy voice. And I like it when you bite me, too. Makes me feel marked. If ever there was an invitation, that's it. Curling a hand around the back of her head, I draw her close and nip her neck. She groans, a sound that turns me on. What a shock. But I still want to talk to her, so I pull back, lifting an eyebrow. And the rest of what I said? She smiles, looking coy, but her answer is all pure, honest emotion.
Yes, yes to everything. Also, I think I love your sister.
You would like her. She's very straightforward. I just have to check with her on her schedule, but I think she'll be willing, and then we can go out on a date. I laugh at that last word. She stares quizzically at me.
Why are you laughing about asking me out on a date?
Because I never thought I would.
I never thought you would either. I thought you hated me.
I thought you hated me, I counter. But I've been wanting you for some time now. I just didn't think we'd get past the way we used to be with each other.
I'm happy to keep finding ways to get in digs at you.
I bet you are. But listen, here's the other thing. I say, and she tenses when I say the word listen. I make a note of that. Maybe listen isn't the best way to start a conversation. I can't say anything to my kids yet. Her expression turns serious as she nods her agreement.
Of course, it's too early.
And I don't know when I'll be able to. This is all new to me, and honestly, it's not like I've Googled how to date as a single parent, I say, finding the right words.
It must be hard.
I'm not sure how to make it all work. I don't know when I'm supposed to tell them. Plus, you're already in our lives, and my daughter thinks you're a rock star.
I pretty much am,
she says in that confident tone that I love. You are. And she adores you.
I adore her,
she says, soft and earnest this time. So I don't want to mess with that. Or confuse her, or confuse Henry, do you know what I mean? She squeezes my hand as if she's giving me some of her certainty.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying I expect you to bend to my schedule and my family and my needs. She places her hand on my chest, smoothing it across my shirt.
I'm actually okay bending to your needs. You have kids, you have a family. They're important. They're the most important people in your life. But I do think since we're taking it slow and keeping it kind of quiet, that we should keep it on the down low when it comes to Charlie and Jessica.
I nod. Definitely. They have a lot on their plate.
I don't want Jessica to worry about what this means or doesn't mean, and I don't want her to think we're stealing the limelight.
She's right. It makes perfect sense to keep this close to the vest. I agree. So, no kids and no Charlie and Jessica. Sounds doable. She smiles.
Definitely. And look, I don't want you to worry that I'm this super needy girl who expects you to ignore your kids and schedule me first. I have a rich and happy life, and I have lots of friends and family of my own, too. But don't ignore me again. Just send a text, okay?
I promise.
Good. And please know that I completely understand you're not the 28-year-old investment banker from Morgan Stanley who only has a houseplant to take care of in his loft in Tribeca.
I arch a brow. He has a houseplant? This Morgan Stanley banker? She snaps her fingers.
You're right, it's a plastic houseplant, but it's so realistic looking.
I laugh, then return to the conversation. Anyway, all I'm saying is, I don't know how to do this. Mostly what I want right now is to not have any more conversations in doorways of hotels where I let you slip through my fingers. She trembles and nods.
Same here.
I want to try this. I point from her to me. Whatever this is.
I want this, too. That heaviness that's been in me, it sheds a few more pounds. Maybe it was a darkness. I've always had a little bit of darkness and anger inside me, probably because of how my parents' marriage ended. During the last few years, the darkness changed shape. It doubled down due to a change in my life that I never expected. But then, being with Piper is a change I didn't expect either. And I like it. I like this change so damn much. I'm not going to analyze it 6 ways to Sunday. I'm not going to turn it inside out and upside down and make comparisons that don't need to be made. She's not Anna, and Anna's not Piper, and that's fine by me. This woman is the one with me now, and that's all I can think of. The present. It's a gift, and one I want to keep opening over and over. I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm good with it. I want this present so badly, and I want to see what kind of future it brings. Somehow, I've been given another chance. Another chance at happiness. And I want to discover how that happiness looks and works with the woman next to me. The woman I'm falling for. I don't say any of that out loud. It'll come when the time is right. Instead, I loop a hand through her hair and pull her close, bringing my lips to hers once more. When I break the kiss, she breathes out hard. Wow. Maybe she can understand everything unspoken. Zach, I'm really looking forward to shuffleboard. Yeah, I think she might know how I feel. And I'm good with that. I'm good with wherever we're going. She points at the door.
But now you have to go. I have to call Shalise at the Hayward Grand Ocean Suites.
Go work your magic. That evening, she texts, telling me she secured the venue, and she's so grateful that she wants to give me a thank you blowjob. I'm so damn tempted to find a sitter and take her up on her offer. But I don't. I send her an eggplant emoticon and the words, "Rain check is mandatory." Chapter 26.
Where are you going tonight?
Ah, that's the question. The inevitable question that I knew was coming from the peanut gallery. But this time, I'm armed with the truth. Well, most of it. Tonight, I've shepherded Henry and Lucy along like a drill sergeant, reminding them to gather bags and books and phones and earbuds. Lucy's question clangs in my head, echoing. As I steel myself to serve up some of the details, the tension in me ratchets up, even though I'm being honest. I'm going to play shuffleboard with your friend Piper. She stops mid-backpack grab, spins around, lifts a brow.
You're playing shuffleboard with Piper? What's shuffleboard?
I breathe a 10-story-tall sigh of relief, choosing to answer what's behind door number 3. It's a game, an outdoor game where you push weighted discs down an outdoor court. Except we're playing indoors. Her nose crinkles.
That sounds weird.
I laugh, grateful for the game analysis rather than the date one. Maybe to you. She pats my arm.
You have fun playing your weird game.
She returns to her bed, grabbing her earbuds and jamming them into the front pouch of her backpack. I relax, but only a little. Because the truth is, Piper and I are going to Brooklyn to play, then to drinks, and then to her place. The kids are spending the night at my sister's. They probably think I'll be here, in the only home they've ever known. But nope, this place will be empty. Daddy gets a sleepover too.
That's cool that you and Piper are hanging out,
Lucy says breezily, then offers me, please, pretty please, eyes.
But why can't I come along? I guess I don't mind a weird game if I can play with Piper.
I gulp. Yep, it was too easy. Like I could actually get off scot-free. I tug Lucy in for a nuzzle. Because your aunt wants to see you. You have no idea how much Emmy is looking forward to having you over tonight. And your cousins are dying to see you too. Don't you want to hang out with your cousins? Lucy seems to consider that, then shrugs happily.
You're right. I'm excited to see Jamie and Jenna. Jenna said she wants to show me a new Instagram baking show she found, so that sounds like fun.
And Jamie has all sorts of games picked out, too. And she wants to make waffles with you in the morning. And don't forget how much you like making waffles. I poke Lucy's sides, tickling her, desperate to distract the Inquisition.
But are hers as good as yours? Lucy counters.
Well, that would be impossible, she laughs.
True.
But try to enjoy them anyway, she sighs dramatically.
I'll do my very best. Also, Daddy wants to sleep in,
Henry proclaims as he shows up in Lucy's doorway.
We should let him sleep in tomorrow all by himself.
Henry turns around to face me.
I will give you a morning hug when I see you at Emmy's tomorrow.
I cringe inside. This is tougher than I thought. I resolve to work on my parent navigates dating his daughter's favorite person skills as I gather the kids and head out of the apartment. Lucy and Henry are 10 feet ahead of me, darting down the hall, and I follow, then stop in my tracks when my gaze snags on my wedding photo. It's been here so long, but it feels like I'm really noticing this picture for the first time in months. I step toward it, scanning the image, faded from sun and light and time. Mostly from time. But I can see how happy I was as I looked into Anna's eyes, seeing forever, feeling forever. She gazes back at me the same damn way. In an instant, our marriage unfolds like a flip book. A honeymoon in Paris, our first apartment in Hell's Kitchen, the nights out and the nights in. The way she laughed at her friends' jokes, at my jokes. She was one of the most upbeat people I've ever known. One of the happiest. When she found out she was pregnant with Lucy 6 months after we walked down the aisle, she was a ray of sunshine, and so was I. We wanted the baby so badly, even though we were young. Her first pregnancy was remarkably easy, and we strolled through Target, registering for things we were convinced we simply had to have to be parents. We moved into this place. Then Lucy showed up, and my life truly changed. Late nights, early mornings, hardly any time for each other. Anna and I argued every now and then over who should clean the kitchen and the bathroom, but never over whose turn it was to take care of the baby. We were a team. And when Henry came into our lives, we were the consummate upper-middle-class Manhattan parents, somehow balancing jobs and kids and sitters and classes and weekend activities. Until Anna got sick. And everything changed once again. As I stare at me in my tux, her in her dress, I see it all, remembering mundane details, like how she took her coffee, and forgetting others, like the smell of her hair. Recalling her telling me a funny story about a coworker eating cake from the break room fridge, then barely able to remember what her favorite Ed Sheeran song was, the one she said made her heart ache and long for me at the same time. Was it Photograph or Thinking Out Loud? She's becoming faded around the edges, too. And maybe this is how it's supposed to be, more than 2 years later. Maybe I'm supposed to stand here with the pieces of memory falling through my fingers as life goes on. And maybe I don't need to have this photo front and center anymore. It feels both right and wrong. Be right there, I call out to the kids, then take the picture and take it to my room, setting it on the bureau. It's not standing and it's not face down, but face up. Later I'll figure out where to put it. But it no longer needs to be in the living room. I'm not one to talk to ghosts. I've never spoken to Anna's picture, but tonight I tap the frame and whisper, I know you'd be okay with this. She didn't have to grant me permission, but she did anyway near the end, wagging a finger at me, issuing her final instructions. You better fall in love again. At the time, I just shook my head. That's what you do when your wife is dying. I mean it, Zach. You better. You really better. She'd reached for me, stroked my hair. Not for me. For you. I don't know that it was her dying wish, but whether it was or wasn't, I have a pretty good feeling it's coming true. Once I arrive at Emmy's, my sister's kids take over as little teenage parents. I let out a long sigh, glad I made it uptown without any further questions from the jury. Emmy pats my shoulder, sensing my relief.
Easier said than done?
I think I botched the whole thing, I say out of earshot of the kids as I tell her what Lucy said about shuffleboard and me going out with her friend. She offers a small smile.
It sounds like you did fine, actually. You told the truth, and that's good, but you didn't tell them stuff they don't need to know. Now stop beating yourself up and go enjoy the first date you've had in ages.
I rub my palm over the back of my neck. You think I did okay?
More than okay.
She shoos me out the door.
The clock is ticking. Go, go.
A little later, I push open the door to the shuffleboard club in Brooklyn and find Piper at the counter checking in. She's wearing jeans and a tight black t-shirt, and all thoughts of whether I was a super dad or a just okay dad vanish, because holy hell, I pulled this off. And I'm going to enjoy the hell out of my night. For me. I'm going to enjoy every single second of falling in love.
Chapter 27. With the wooden pole, I shove the disc down the court. Scoring again. And another game goes to the brunette. Zach laughs, shaking his head. You didn't tell me you were a secret shuffleboard expert. I feign surprise. Oh, I didn't? So sorry. You've played before, haven't you? I hold up my free hand, taking an oath. I swear I haven't. It's the Florida girl in me, I suspect. I'm just naturally good at party sports. I'd probably kill it at mahjong, bridge, and bocce ball, too. And look, if you want to be crushed harder than this, we can play mini golf. I offer a big smile, because honestly, whipping his cute butt on a mini golf course would be a ton of fun. No way, I'm not letting you destroy me at that. Too tough on your male ego? He nods without hesitation. Yeah. One more round? I can't seem to deny you, so the answer is yes, even though you've been killing me. As we set up for the next round, he nudges me. So, Miss Florida girl, do you ever go back there? I tense, thinking of my mom, of our last phone call when she went on and on about Trevor, or Travis, or Trey. My mom keeps asking me to come back. She wants me to meet her new boyfriend. You don't want to? What's the point? It won't last. She thinks he's the one, but she always thinks the new guy is the one, and he never is. And you don't think she'll ever meet anybody she truly falls for again? I go first, sending the disc along the floor. If I were a betting woman, I'd say no. He frowns. That sucks. She doesn't really have the best track record. So what should I do, go down there, meet him, act like she'll keep him, and then in a year he's gone too, because that's how it goes with her? But what if? He presses, setting up for his turn. I lift a brow skeptically. What if he's the one for her? I don't buy it. She met the one. She loved the one. She won't let go of the one. She still has my dad's picture up in her home. He tenses, his next word coming out like it has potholes in it. Where? In the living room, like a shrine. She justified it because it's of the four of us, but I can't imagine how her boyfriends feel. Should be someplace else, not the living room, for sure. He sends the disc down the court, scoring. I give him an approving nod, then return to the topic. Exactly, a wall in the hall, for instance. You really think she's still in love with your dad? No. But, I say, sadness coloring my tone. I do think she's hung up on what she had. I think she's trying to recreate that magic, that once-in-a-lifetime love, and she's falling short each time. He hums thoughtfully. I feel bad for her then. I spin around, surprised. You do? Best thing she can do for herself, for her sanity, for her own soul, is to learn to move on. That buoys me. His strength, his solid footing. Even though we're not at that stage yet, he seems healthy, and that's a damn good thing. Maybe that's why I don't want to linger on my mom. I wave a hand before I set up for my turn. I don't want to talk about her. Let's talk about something happier. Like my sister's baby should be here in a few weeks. I say, updating him as I play, since he knows already about Paige's adoption plans. And my living room has become a home to her wardrobe for the first 14 years of her life, with an extra chair just for all her blankets. He stares at me, hands wrapped around the pole, his expression deadpan. So you're just completely forgetting about this kid's teenage needs? Way to go, Piper. I sigh dramatically. I know, I'm the worst. So thoughtless for not yet prepping clothes for the teenage years. But I'll get there. I just have more blankets to buy first. I bought 7 the other day. I might need to shop for 3 more. Of course, you need to make it an even 10, he says, deadly serious. I nod, patting his chest. You get me. Laughing, he sets the pole on the floor, grabs my hand, and tugs me close. I do. And let me tell you, that baby is going to be one lucky kid to have you for an aunt. I raise my chin proudly. The Aunt Society already gave me World's Best Aunt Award. They said no one else would even hold a candle, so they were giving it to me preemptively. You're great with kids. My daughter thinks you're the best. I told her I was playing shuffleboard with you tonight, and she actually said to me, "You're going out with my friend?" I smile big and wide. I love that she thinks of me that way. Me too. My smile falters because the way Lucy feels for me and the way I feel for her is also one of the challenges I face in this burgeoning romance with her father. Lucy is perhaps the biggest hurdle. I love being a part of her life, and she evidently adores being in mine. What would happen, though, if this tender new thing with Zach fell to pieces? What if we hurt each other, break each other's hearts? I would want to remain Lucy's friend, but could we? I have no idea. I detest the thought of being out of her life. I want to fight like hell to keep her in mine. He tucks a strand of my hair behind my ear. One more thing, though, about your mom. If you ever wanted to see her, I'd go with you. I nearly stumble, shocked from his comment. To see my mom? I want to make sure I understand. If you wanted to, if it was important to you. I swallow, a lump tightening in my throat. Something hasn't just changed with Zach. Something has seismically shifted in him. He's not the man he was 10 years ago, or 10 months ago, or even 10 weeks ago. Sure, I can see on the surface he's still strong, sarcastic, and smart, but now I see inside him, because he's let me. And what I see is so much more than I ever expected. What I see is beautiful, and it floors me. I'm unprepared for the wave of emotions that roll through me from his offer, stirring something I haven't felt in years. Something I've only truly felt once before. I silence all the feeling with a kiss, whispering a thank you against his lips, wondering how on earth I'm going to handle the fall. Later, we stumble into my place, kissing and touching, unable to stop, unwilling to. I want to go all night. We find our way to the bedroom and clothes fly off. I fall down on my bed and he climbs over me, his blue eyes dark as a lake, his intent fierce. He claims my lips once more. Then, in a heartbeat, he flops down on his back, grabs my hips, and pulls me up, murmuring dirty words, telling me to fuck his face. He's filthy and hungry, and I love it. I love the rawness, the realness. I ride him, gripping the headboard, doing as asked and finding my release in minutes. Once I do, he flips me over to all fours and slides into me. Pleasure consumes my body as he drives into me the way I want. Hard, powerfully, wiping away the day, the worries, all the what-ifs. He's biting my neck, my shoulder, like I asked for the other day in the office. Giving me what gets me going until I come hard. But he doesn't follow me there. Instead, he pulls me closer, raising me up, wrapping his arms around my chest, kissing my neck, running his nose through my hair, slowing down, inhaling me, touching me everywhere. And I shudder again and again because everything feels too good to be true. He runs a hand down my belly, sliding it between my legs. Then he lowers us to the bed so we're both on our sides, and he fucks me slowly and wonderfully. It's like he's luxuriating in me, in this time, in our chance, in everything that's happening tonight. Soon, he's whispering my name, growling it, grunting it. I urge him on, wanting his release, craving it. When he comes inside me, he says my name like it's a jewel in his mouth, like I've become something precious to him. And I'm pretty sure he's become that to me, too. No, I'm certain. The next morning, I make him breakfast. Eggs and potatoes and toast. He devours my cooking. And I love seeing him at my kitchen counter, in my home. As we eat, he asks more about my sister, and I tell him about Paige and Lisa, and how I was one of two maids of honor at their ceremony. I grab the photo of my sister's wedding from the coffee table and show it to him. He wiggles a brow as he taps my face in the frame. For the record, if I were at that wedding, I'd have tried to bang this maid of honor. I stage whisper, "For the record, you banged her already, a few times. And every single time was epic," he says, setting down his fork as if to punctuate his point. Then he kisses my cheek. "Because it's with you." I shiver from head to toe as that deep, sexy voice fills my senses. "Because it's with you." We're so close to something. So close to becoming so much more. When he cleans up, doing the dishes and putting them in the rack, my heart flutters. The man can screw, and the man can clean. Yes, I'm officially floating. He hangs the towel on a hook, then cups my cheeks and gives me the most wondrous goodbye kiss. Who is this man? This romantic, passionate, can't-stop-touching-me man. He's both the same guy I've always known and a complete upgrade now that I'm seeing all the other sides. And I want to keep learning everything about him. Because I'm doing more than floating. I'm falling. Falling. So deeply in love that I don't know who's going to catch me. Or if I'll have to catch myself. When his phone alarm beeps, his official reminder, he heads for the door. With one hand on the knob, he says, "Have lunch with me someday this week, okay? We'll slip out of the office. And I'll find another time for us to have a night together." Of course. He leaves, and I shut the door, then sigh happily. I picture him heading uptown, picking up the kids, spending the day in Central Park with them, as he said he planned to do. A part of me wishes I were with them, but I have plenty to do here. I wander through my apartment and settle in at the couch, where I pick up my latest to-do list. I have a few wedding errands to run today, some calls to make, and emails to return. I'm a busy lady, and I dive into the emails first. But when I'm done, I stare out the window, craving the sunshine, then instantly picturing Zach under this great big sky playing with the children. For a second, I want to be there, or elsewhere. If he were a regular single guy, no kids, no complications, he could see a movie with me, wander around the city, enjoy the sunshine. Then I reprimand myself. I'm lucky to have some alone time to relax, set my own pace. I don't need to spend every second with a new beau. Besides, this gives me a chance to see a friend. I text Sloane and ask what she's up to. She's heading out to a cafe with her husband and instructs me to join them. I haven't seen her in a while, and it's an order, so I go. I find them in the village, at a sidewalk cafe on Jane Street, laughing. He swipes something off her lips and she sticks out her tongue. Then she leans in for a kiss. They're so in love, it's sickening. In a good kind of way. "Will you two ever stop with the PDA?" I tease when I reach them. Her hubby looks up at me, a twinkle in his dark blue eyes. He pretends to consider my question. "Never." He pats the chair they saved for me and I plunk my butt down. Sloan gives me a hug, then asks if I want anything. I pat my belly. "Still stuffed, I'll just grab a carrot chia seed smoothie." She stares at me. "What have you done with Piper?" "Kidding. Iced coffee, obviously." She flags the waitress and asks for the drink. When she's done, she turns back to me. "Did you have a wild Saturday night?" A knowing grin spreads on my face. "Maybe a little." "Tell me everything." I give her the basics, grateful that I can share with someone. He sounds great, and I definitely thought he was a cutie when I met him the other month. Her face lights up. "Malone is singing at the Lucky Spot next weekend. You should bring Zach and come see him with me."
"You should. I have some new tunes,"
Malone says. "Maybe." He'd have to get a sitter, but I can ask. "I like the Lucky Spot. Is it the Midtown one?" Sloan shakes her head. "No, the new Chelsea one." "I've been to the Chelsea location. It's cool. It's also a popular place with Dina and Freddie and Steve and the whole crew from college. Jessica and Charlie, too. If I go with Zach, what if someone sees us? Are we keeping it a secret from all of them, too?" I smile and say maybe. The rest of the day feels like a big maybe.
Chapter 28. I'm sweating like I stepped out of the sauna. New York in July is punishing. My t-shirt sticks to me. "Are you sure Anguilla isn't going to be like this in a few weeks?" Charlie smacks me on the back as we wrap up our game of basketball on the outdoor court, then head into the gym.
"Come on, Anguilla is way better than New York. It's in the 90s here and balls hot. Anguilla is 80s with a nice breeze."
Newsflash, 80s is still hot.
"Then you better grow a pair of unsweaty balls."
"Jackass," I mutter.
"Ooh, is it tough for you that I beat you at basketball today?"
"Miracles do happen." I wipe the sweat from my brow with my sweaty t-shirt. "There better be a perfect ocean breeze."
"Don't get your jockstrap in a twist. Besides, that's why the groom and best man are wearing shorts."
That is some of the best news ever. I cannot thank you enough for the no-tux rule. He pats his chest.
"That was my idea. Plus, the ceremony is at sunset. The weather there is perfect when the sun sets on the beach."
I roll my eyes. "Have you become a wedding planner? You sound like one." He wiggles his eyebrows.
"Speaking of wedding planners, anything going on with you and the wedding planner?"
Surprised, I scoff, since it's easier than looking at him. "Why would you ask me that question?" He shrugs casually.
"When I took the kids to the bookstore the other day, Lucy mentioned you'd be playing shuffleboard with Piper. I didn't know you guys were so into parlor games."
I clear my throat, doing my best to be honest with my buddy. "Seeing as we're best man and maid of honor, we thought we'd meet up, learn to play nice, and discuss some secret, none-of-your-business wedding stuff." What else can I say? The rest is on the tip of my tongue, but I don't want to take away from his moment. This is their time. Plus, it's best for the kids right now if Piper and I are on the down low. They're my priority. They lost their mother and came out the other side still healthy, still happy, still awesome. I need to be certain, to be sure. I don't want to rock their boat if I don't have to, or challenge their emotional fortitude till the time is right. I'm not going to tell my best bud, especially since Charlie can't keep a secret for love nor money. Honestly, though, I'd love to smack him on the back and say, "Yes, something is going on with the wedding planner. I'm in love with her. How about them apples?" I smile at the thought of Charlie's reaction. The guy would be ecstatic. He wants me to have this. But like I learned in London, you have to do things in the right order. Tell people at the right time. This is not that time.
Chapter 29. We don't go to the lucky spot to hear Malone sing. I'd like to say it's because it doesn't work out with a sitter, but the truth is, between God, me, and the lamppost, I don't invite Zach. I don't really know how we're supposed to act around friends of ours. But I know one thing. A down-the-hall-from-each-other romance has its perks. The first time we go out to lunch, our date is the stuff that movie romances are made of. We eat at a quiet cafe off the beaten path in the village, and we talk about little things and big things over hummus and pitas. We trade stories from when we were younger, and stories from the last few years, too. He tells me about his toughest client, and I tell him about my most perplexing, the one who wanted to walk into her wedding on water. He asks where I most want to go in the world. Everywhere. I'm not picky. I am voracious. But I'll start with Italy. Italy is great. Lucy loved Rome and Venice. I roll my eyes. Your kids have traveled more than I have. They do seem to get around. He deadpans. You've always taken them to lots of places. I want them to experience the world. I want them to understand what a great big place it is. I just like to experience Tuscany. He takes a drink of his iced tea. I bet Tuscany is nice. You've never been? He shakes his head. And I make a mental note to steal him away to Tuscany someday, where he can be all mine. Only mine. We do lunch again the next day. And the next. The best part of these trysts? Well, besides getting to know him more, the office sex. On a Friday afternoon, after sandwiches, we slip into his quiet office since his assistant is out. He sits down in the chair. I tell him to unzip his pants, and I treat him to a world-class blowjob. He tastes good, he smells good, and he makes the most fantastic sounds. Groans and grunts and rasps and growls. It's also masculine, so carnal. His sounds get me going. They drive me on. His hands do, too. They twine in my hair, tangling up in it, tugging me close as he finishes. In fact, this becomes such a wonderful dessert to our lunches that we do it again the next week. Lunch becomes our thing. We sneak away for midday meals, even though it's not truly sneaking, but it feels a little bit that way. Sometimes they last an hour. Sometimes they're 30 minutes, and inevitably they end on his desk, in his chair, on my desk, in my chair, or on the couch. One time they end up against the door of my office with his hand over my mouth and me biting down hard on his thumb so no one hears me. The next day we go for a takeout and pop into a secondhand bookshop. He pulls me down an aisle and kisses me hard by Greek history, then presses his teeth against my collarbone, leaving what I can tell will be a faint imprint. There, I want that to be your memory of being kissed in a bookstore, he says. You really do love marking your territory. I really do. So much that I'll mark you again. I don't say no to that. I like being marked by him. I like being his. The next day, I meet Jessica for her final fitting. As we walk to the bridal shop, I update her on the quickie wedding plan since everything is coming together for her nuptials. But as I update her about the reception food, she clutches her stomach and nearly doubles over. I reach for her arm. It sounds that bad? She rises, straightening, shaking her head. The summer, the heat, she moans. Then she stares at me with wide, imploring eyes. I don't want to have morning sickness when I walk down the aisle. Can you please make that go away, too? She presses her palms together in prayer. Pretty please, with sugar on top, world's greatest wedding planner. I laugh, wrap my arm around her, and guide her down the street and into the cool air conditioning of the dress shop. I'm good, but I'm not that good. That said, I will do everything I can to make sure you have crackers and whatever sort of anti-morning sickness potions and voodoo mixers and elixirs there are. She throws her arms around me, and a little tear rolls down her cheek. Thank you. Oh, I'm so damn emotional. I'm the poster child for a pregnant woman. You are a pregnant woman, so that's a very good thing. She heads into the dressing room for her fitting, and I sit on a plush dove gray chair waiting to give the final verdict on her dress. She calls out from the dressing room.
I wanted to tell you,
Graham is coming to the wedding. He's Charlie's good friend, so that makes sense.
That's great.
Do you need me to plan a role for him or something? She chuckles softly.
No, silly, I was just thinking that maybe I could try to get you two together again.
My shoulders tighten. I've been able to tell her about others, even Jensen. She knew how I felt when I met him. She knew, too, how I felt when we unraveled. This is the moment where I should be able to tell her about Zach, to share that I'm seeing someone, that I've fallen hard for someone, that I'm wildly, insanely in love with a guy I never expected. Instead, this is the moment when I have to swallow whole that bubble of happiness, that effervescent, floaty, electric feeling you get when you can finally tell your good friend. How I want to have that with Jessica. I want to blurt out my true heart and have her throw her arms around me and say, I'm so happy for you. But Zach and I are a secret. Are we a dirty secret? I cringe inside, then shake off the unpleasant feeling. That's not what we are. We're simply two smart adults taking it slow because there's so much at stake. First and always foremost are the kids. You can't just parachute down and say, ta-da, we're dating, hope it works out, to any young children, let alone a pair who lost their mother. Besides, who knows where things will be with Zach in another few weeks? A flash of memory crosses my eyes. White lace, pearls, a giddy grin as she tried on a dress. Was it my mom's third or her fourth that I'm remembering? This memory isn't random. It's because I'm in a bridal shop, a place where I was practically raised. Ever the bridesmaid, helping my mother down the aisle as she sought love again and again and again. She never loved anyone like my dad. My stomach twists in a painful knot. Would it be like that with Zach? Would I be my mother's husband's, always second best to the one he truly loved? That's reason enough to keep this romance inside me. Just in case. I answer her, wholly truthful. Thank you, but I didn't really have any spark or chemistry with Graham. Too bad. The door cracks open with a squeak. She steps out. I stand and gasp. She looks stunning, in a summer wedding dress, casual and perfect for a beach ceremony. Jessica giggles. And this is one of the few times a grown woman can giggle and not seem completely silly. Does it look good? You look absolutely incredible. We're talking better than Megan and better than Kate. She waves a hand. No one's better than Megan or Kate. I don't know, sweetheart, I say to her. You're pretty damn close. I walk over to her, put my hands on her shoulders, and spin her in front of the mirror. You look radiant. I feel radiant. It's crazy, but it's awesome, too. She returns to the dressing room, but with one hand on the knob, she stops and looks at me. But is there anyone you feel that kind of spark with? Like you did with... She lets her voice trail off, but I know she's speaking of the man I said I do to years ago. My gut clenches. I'm dying to tell her the truth about Zach. But now isn't the time. I deflect airily. Someday, I'm sure. After all, aren't we always searching for sparks? I'm glad you found yours. I've definitely found sparks. I've found them too. But do sparks like this suffice? Are feelings this strong ever enough to overcome the hurts of the past and the hurdles of the present? Jessica shuts the door, and my shoulders sag with the weight of all new worries. Chapter 30. I'm on pins and needles for 24 hours. I'm nothing but nerves frayed thin, unraveling as I wait for good news. It comes on the Monday afternoon before the wedding, when Paige calls. Through tears of joy, she blurts out that she's going home from the hospital with her baby girl. I scream. It is an epic shout of happiness. No, happiness isn't a strong enough word. This is elation. It's glee, bliss, and delight all stirred up together in the most wonderful cocktail, and I drink it down in one gulp as I hang up the phone. There's a knock on my door, and Lucy pops in.
It must be after camp for her. Are you okay? I squeal again, clasping her shoulders. That was a happy scream. My sister and her wife just went home from the hospital with their baby girl. Lucy jumps up and down. I grab my purse, slinging it on my shoulder and glancing at my watch. I'm going to see them now at their house. Lucy's eyes go wide. Can I go with you? Of course. I'd say yes to anything right now. Can you take me horseback riding down Fifth Avenue? Absolutely. Can I adopt a Chihuahua puppy? Let's do it. But ask your father first. Lucy rushes down the hallway into his office, and a minute later, Zach steps into the hall, a smile on his face. Baby is healthy? Both parents signed the consent? Everything's a go? Everything is fantastic, and yes, both parents signed the consent. We're going to meet the baby. Lucy wants to come, is that okay? It's great. I shoo Lucy along. Let's go, I have a niece to meet. She stuffs her phone in her yoga pants pocket and declares, Ready, Freddy? Do you want to go with us? I ask Zach curiously. He likes kids. He seems excited. Maybe I should bring him? I would love to, but I have a call with a client. I can't wait to see pictures, though. Will you send me pictures later? I will. An hour later, I'm holding my niece for the first time. She is gorgeous and perfect, I tell her moms. Lucy pipes in. Can I hold the baby? I used to hold my brother when he was little, and I'm really, really good at it. Paige nods, patting the cushion on the couch. Of course you can. Gently, I pass Lucy the baby, and she sits with her. She looks like the most well-trained, well-behaved older sister ever. My heart climbs up my throat, thumping loudly as I gaze at the two girls a decade apart. Neither one shares my blood, but I've come to love the older one, and I'm in insta-love with the new little lady. And that seems the right path for both. Both girls have claimed a piece of me, and I don't want to let either one go. With emotions swelling inside me like a high tide, I take a few pictures as Lucy rocks the baby, singing, Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Once again, I tear up. Paige and Lisa do too. How do you know that song? I ask her. I used to sing it to my brother, Lucy says matter-of-factly. Like I said, I'm a really good babysitter. I can babysit for her. Wait, what's her name? Lisa clears her throat. We're naming her Catherine. Beautiful, I say. Lisa continues. Catherine Piper Radcliffe Foster. I freeze. And for the 50th time in as many minutes, I'm in tears. We wouldn't have her without you, Lisa adds. We're so grateful. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say, or how to even attempt to speak. When we leave later that evening, Lucy takes my hand. Can we visit her again soon? I say yes. All I want is to do that again with this little girl. And all I want is to do it again with this little girl and her father. Especially when I show him the pictures when I bring Lucy back to his office. We're shoulder to shoulder, and Lucy's in front of him, leaning back against his chest. Henry parked in the desk chair drawing dinosaurs as I flip through photos on my phone. Zach takes his time with each picture, studying them, pointing out little details like the baby's fingers and her thick hair as he hums, ahs, and murmurs. And I fall 1,000 times deeper. I don't know that I want to have my own kids. I'm not even sure parenthood is in the cards for me, but the reminder that this man is such a family guy is a ray of sunshine in my soul. It says something about who he is, his values, his goals. Being the best dad he can be has always been his top priority, and that is mega sexy. I'm definitely going to start outsourcing you, Lucy, he says, tousling her hair. What's outsourcing? It means I'm going to rent you out to families who need sitters. You can finally start earning your keep now that I know you're a sitter extraordinaire. She giggles. Fine, I'll do it because then I can make enough money to adopt a rescue kitten. I wrote a list of everything kittens need. She has a plan for a rescue kitten? And a list? May God have mercy on my soul because like that, I am falling harder for her too. That's the problem. This 10-year-old child has become the biggest hurdle, it seems, between having it all with her father and having only some of him. Soon, something has to give.
There's nothing I want more than to make it all work.
Chapter 31. I have a doctorate in law, but after the last month, I'd like to submit my candidacy for an advanced degree in calendar engineering. A master of science in time management, if you will. I've become brilliant at making the most of every unaccounted-for slot in my calendar to see Piper, take her out to lunch, shoehorn in dinner, or spend the night with her. And I'm still firing on all cylinders at work, looking out for clients like Taylor as we finalize her divorce, and kicking ass as a dad. I'm juggling parenting, career, and new romance like a goddamn circus clown superstar. Something, incidentally, I never thought I'd compare myself to, but it feels fitting. I'm doing life better than Bozo. And tonight, this unclaimed hour in my schedule, when it turned out Miranda wanted to take both kids to a festival in Chinatown, belongs to Piper and me. I don't know how I'll get any alone time with her in Anguilla, so I'm drinking it up now. I'm imbibing it, devouring as much time with her as I can. We're in her apartment, with the early evening sun shining brightly through the bedroom window as she arches beneath me. Her legs are wrapped around me as I move in her, slowly and luxuriously, taking our time. She threads her fingers through my hair, meeting my gaze for a moment. The look in her brown eyes is wondrous and vulnerable. Then she closes them and lets out the most delicious moan. Soon she lifts her hips faster, grips me tighter. She's getting closer, racing toward the edge of pleasure, toward the endgame of desire, so I rock deeper, giving her what I know she needs to find her release, to fly down the other side of bliss. When she's there, she says my name in a plaintive whisper, and something breaks inside me. Something breaks beautifully as I follow her. It's not the awareness of how I'm feeling. I'm not a stupid guy. I'm smart, and I've known for weeks what's been happening. Instead, it's the acceptance of it, the surrender to it, to falling ridiculously in love again. After, as I run my hands through her hair, I sigh, whispering, "What are you doing to me?"
"I don't know. What am I doing to you?"
She drags her nails down my chest playfully. I stroke my thumb along her jaw and give her all my truths. "You make me feel so many things."